live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Pfizer's CEO is headed to Rocky Mount to tour the damage caused by this week's EF3 tornado. We're on the ground waiting for his arrival.
Plus, a motorcycle rider is hurt after a crash on US 1 in Cary. We're live on the scene with what we've learned about the investigation.
And it is steamy outside right now. We'll continue to see that, of course, through the rest of the day. But I'll show you what will change to make it feel more comfortable over the weekend.
Well, this afternoon, we expect to get a better idea of what it will take to get Nash County's largest employer back up and running after Wednesday's destructive tornado. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Ken Smith in for Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Pfizer CEO is heading to Rocky Mount to tour the damage done to the company's production plant there. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm first reported yesterday that this visit was happening. He is live outside the Pfizer plant. Matt.
Yeah, Renee, we learned from two state lawmakers that Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla will be here today to visit this plant to see all that damage. We're also told from the Rocky Mount Chamber of Commerce CEO he plans to meet with Bourla as well, because a lot of people wondering what will happen to everyone who works here. 3,200 employees at this facility, and it is shut down at this point until further notice. Bourla tweeted, "We are working urgently to determine the best way we can get back online as quickly as possible while ensuring the safety of our people." The EF3 tornado ripped the roof off part of the Pfizer facility here. You could see that damage from Sky 5 showing what looks like racks stacked with pallets of products twisted and collapsed below. We're told that's a storage and distribution building here. The Nash County Sheriff told WRAL as much as 50,000 pallets may be damaged. Today, we are hoping to learn a little bit more from Pfizer about what kinds of medicines are in there and also how this could create shortages of those drugs. Now, this plant produces a quarter of all the sterile injectables that Pfizer uses to supply hospitals across the country here. Those are the medicines that are used in little vials. You see them. They're used for vaccines, also things like IVs at hospitals. We're hoping to learn more about what kind of an impact this could have on the medical industry as well as these employees here. Pfizer tells us it expects an update this afternoon as that tour gets underway, that from the CEO. We, of course, will be here and bring you updates throughout the afternoon on WRAL.
We'll see if we get any answers. Matt Tallhelm, live in Nash County. Breaking news this noon, a federal judge ordered the trial in the classified documents case against former President Donald Trump to begin in May of 2024. The trial could begin as early as May 20th. If that timeline holds, then the trial would fall during the 2024 race for the White House. It would wrap before primary voting gets underway in the presidential election, where Trump is the leading GOP candidate.
Well, police are investigating a crash between a car and a motorcycle that seriously injured the rider. It happened this morning in the northbound lanes of US 1 in Cary. WRAL's Shelley Jackson joining us live from what we've learned about this collision. Shelley.
Traffic out here has been moving slowly for hours. Take a look at this. It's backed up like this for at least a mile, just crawling along because the road is down to two lanes. Now, the reason it's so slow is because of a motorcycle crash that happened just before 9 o'clock this morning. This is as close as we can get, but we'll see if we can kind of show you a little bit of a view. Behind that police cruiser that's in front of the fire truck, you may be able to see the motorcycle on the ground there. And then a bit in front of that police cruiser is the Dodge Charger. Now, Cary police say the motorcycle hit the Dodge Charger before the crash. We do know that the motorcycle driver has serious injuries and the Dodge Charger driver is okay. Right now, we're working to confirm just how this crash happened. And if your drive takes you anywhere along US 1 northbound today, we don't see this clearing up anytime soon, so you may want to find a different route to get where you're going.
Shelley Jackson along US 1 in Cary, working that accident for us. Shelley, thanks.
New Hope Road in Raleigh has reopened after a head-on crash shut down a stretch of the road this morning. The crash caused serious backups during the morning commute. It happened on the northeast side of Raleigh at Daly Road, just south of Trawick Road. Police said the driver of the van lost control, swerved into the other lanes, hitting a car head-on. One person is in the hospital with serious injuries. Police say a driver who hit a pole on Wake Forest Road may have been impaired. A crash closed the turning lanes to get from Wake Forest Road to I-440. The driver of the SUV was headed southbound on Wake Forest Road, lost control when trying to go around a semi-truck. No one was seriously hurt.
A cold front will bring us more comfortable air masses this weekend. Temperatures will be a bit below normal, our humidity dropping. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, the WRSV Weather Center, with a look at what it will feel like. Elizabeth.
It's going to be nice. We're not talking about October feeling conditions, but it will be a noticeable drop in our humidity and in our temperature. We take a look at Chapel Hill, looking beautiful. Plenty of people out and about. I was just outside a few minutes ago, though, and it still feels like a very heavy air mass sitting over us right now. We'll have a cold front continuing to move across our area today. That will help to push some of the moisture out of the atmosphere. That will bring us a drop in our humidity. Now, as we get into Sunday, we may see a little bit more of that bumping back into the region. So we may notice a bigger difference on Saturday than we do on Sunday. But here's a look at some of the numbers for the next few days. Could be feeling as hot as 100 this afternoon. And coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk about what the heat index feels like right now. But look at the big difference. We could drop it by 10 degrees on Saturday. It could feel like 89. It could feel like 93 on Sunday and 92 on Monday, which is still better than the triple digits that we've seen for much of this week. So if you have plans to be out and about this weekend, go ahead. Or if you don't have plans, go ahead and make some. It will be nice on the golf course. It would be a great weekend to be out on the water somewhere. 93 for today, but then we drop to 88 on Saturday and then 90 on Sunday. And with that drop in humidity, it'll feel better. And we do have a small chance for thunderstorms each afternoon. We'll talk a bit more about that in just a bit.
Elizabeth, thank you. A new national solar investment was announced this morning in Research Triangle Park. The $7 billion grant program aims to improve access to solar energy for low-income households. WRAL climate change reporter Liz McLaughlin is live now at RTP. Liz, what details did you learn there at the event today?
Renee, this investment is about deploying commercial and residential rooftop solar all across the nation's energy grid. You can see some of the solar panels here behind me. They're on almost all of the EPA buildings here on this campus, generating more than 200 kilowatts of electricity. North Carolina was an early leader in solar, but many low-income communities have been left behind in the clean energy transition. That was the focus of today's announcement for the Solar for All program. This grant opportunity is open now, putting $7 billion up for grabs, up to 60 grants will be awarded, up to $400 million each, specifically for disadvantaged communities. Officials, including District 4 Congresswoman Valerie Fucci, spoke about the goals of the program today, and specifically the goal of giving low-income households the access to the benefits of solar, including having access to power during outages and cost savings. Low-income households actually have an average energy burden of 9%, so nearly 10% of their income goes to power bills. That's three times more than non-income households spend.
Disposable income is what it is. If you have to spend part of that on housing, part of that on education, part of that on food, and then a large part of it on energy, then those choices that you make about how you spend that income become very difficult. So this gives an equitable solution to those families.
Congresswoman Fucci says she hopes that North Carolina will benefit. That deadline, though, coming up quickly, July 31st for some applicants, including municipalities. And this all comes at a time when energy costs are top of mind for consumers. Duke Energy recently asked for a rate increase. If that's approved, that means power bills for consumers in their network will go up nearly 18% over the next 3 years. Renee.
Liz McLaughlin on the effort to go solar, live at RTP. Thank you. Staying cool during the hot summer months can be a challenge, and it puts added stress on your air conditioning unit. HVAC companies say it's important to remain patient if you need repairs. We talked with Michael and Son, whose technicians are making 50 to 60 home visits a day. They say their workforce is stretched thin. There are some things that you can do to try to keep your unit running without problems.
You know, we definitely having a lot of rain. Keep the shrubbery, the grass, the weeds around your AC. You want at least, a foot to 2 feet around your air conditioner or free space.
Michael and Son also says you should schedule regular maintenance for your unit to avoid problems in the summer.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, you can find this on WREL TechWire. Honda saying this afternoon that they will begin manufacturing ATVs at its Swepsonville plant, and lawnmowers there will be phased out. The 700,000 square foot Honda plant will end the production of lawnmowers in September as they switch over to ATVs. The company says because of strict environmental regulations as well as customer preferences, that's the reason for the switch. The move is all part of a $380 million upgrade to the facility that AT Manufacturing is being relocated from a Honda plant in South Carolina.
All right, let's talk Women's World Cup. The U.S. national team will play their first match tonight against Vietnam. These six NC Courage players are representing their respective countries on the world stage in this international tournament. Defender Emily Fox and goalkeeper Casey Murphy are playing for the U.S. This morning on Fox 50, NC Courage coach Sean Nahas told us why Fox and Murphy deserve to be on the national team.
I started with them in 2016 in their first Youth World Cup. So to see them now with the first team is a fantastic evolution for them. Emily just joined us this year, a real dynamic player, great on the ball, likes to play an attractive style, and Casey's one of the best goalkeepers in the world.
Well, this is video of the U.S. Women's National Team training as they get ready for tonight's game in New Zealand. The U.S. women are going for their third straight Women's World Cup title. That has never been done, by the way. We caught up with one of the sports broadcasters calling the matches for Fox Sports. Jen Hildreth says, beyond the pitch, this tournament is a showcase for women's sports that creates special moments and memories.
Because I think storytelling is what draws people in and what connects them. When it's not the U.S. playing, that's what gets them to really care and get engaged. And it's what makes this game so beautiful, especially in a World Cup.
Well, Hildreth says she is old school when it comes to preparing for 19 teams from around the world. She's calling 11 matches. She's got Sharpies, plenty of handwritten notes at the ready. And this reminder, tonight's coverage of the U.S. women's team against Vietnam starts at 8:45. You can catch all the action on Fox 50, your home for the Women's World Cup.
Raleigh's oldest movie theater is opening its doors for a viewing party for the World Cup. The new owner of the Rialto Theater on Glenwood Avenue sent an email inviting the public to the theater for a screening of the World Cup. It starts at 9 p.m. You might want to arrive at 7:30 to get a good seat. Beer and soda will be available for purchase. The dream of never having to worry about money is still alive with the Mega Millions jackpot. It's worth $720 million. The Mega Millions jackpot has jumped past the $700 million mark only four previous times. You can watch the drawing live tonight on WREL right before our 11 o'clock news.
Next at noon, we're remembering the life and legacy of music icon Tony Bennett, who passed away today at the age of 96.
Also, how one company is using AI to minimize or eliminate offensive content in podcasts.
And we're in Durham as family and friends prepare to say their final goodbyes to a little girl shot and killed earlier this month.
Download the new WREL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Singer Tony Bennett died today at the age of 96. Born Anthony Dominic Benedetto in New York in 1926, his big break came in 1959 when he was hired by Bob Hope. The entertainer advised the vocalist to use the name Tony Bennett. He went on to win 19 Grammys, 2 Emmys, and the Recording Academy's Lifetime Achievement Award. Bennett was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease in 2016, and his last public appearance was in 2021 when he performed with Lady Gaga at Radio City Music Hall. It is the end of the line for a tune used on bullet trains connecting Tokyo and Shinosaka. That lovely melody was Ambitious Japan. It was used for the past 20 years. Some passengers even recorded the melody on its last day. The new chime was switched to a tune, which means let's go meet.
Well, have you ever listened to a podcast but had to turn it off halfway through because of offensive content? Well, you're not alone. Eben Brown explains how a company specializing in transparency has a way to make sure it doesn't happen again.
It's another AI innovation that could have a big impact on what you hear. When it comes to media, both individuals and corporations can get anxious about the company they keep, so to speak, especially in the world of podcasting, where millions of ad dollars are up for grabs. Now there's a way to figure out whether if what you're listening to also fits your values.
The essence of our democracy is about conversation. So we decided that we would put a score on it, not too dissimilar to the way we do with news content.
It's called the Podcast Civility Score by Seeker, a company specializing in online transparency. It uses what it calls responsible artificial intelligence to scan entire podcast episodes, reporting personal attacks and other derogatory language so listeners and advertisers don't get caught in the crossfire.
We've identified the source. We've then run our algorithms against it using principles of journalism that are also identification of cognitive biases.
Companies can now use the scoring as a guide to maintain brand integrity by avoiding controversy. And Seeker says its AI is listening not just for words, but also context, meaning jokes and phrases won't get flagged unless they're being used in a harmful way.
We just don't pull a keyword out and say he said or she said this word, and therefore this is a personal attack. We look through the entire episode.
And that was Evan Brown reporting. Now, there's a lot at stake. The global podcasting market size is expected to reach $24 billion by the end of this year.
AMC Entertainment is dropping plans to charge variable seating fees after testing out the program in three U.S. markets. Their sightline pricing strategy offered lower prices for seats considered less desirable to customers like the front row. Seats higher up and in the middle would have cost more. AMC says the decision was based on viewers showing little interest in sitting down way up front, even with the cheaper prices. It is the day Barbie fans have been waiting for. It is opening day at the box office for the new movie Barbie. Oscar-nominated writer and director Greta Gerwig says her film has a message for everyone. She says she wanted to make a movie that said you're worthy just as you are. Barbie is expected to bring in $100 million or more this weekend. And people are showing up in their bright pink or all shades of pink to see this movie about the iconic doll.
Finally. Man, that marketing machine has been in overdrive for months.
I'll tell you what, Ryan Gosling doesn't hold a candle to this Ken, original Ken doll
here. Well, there you go. I'll take that. We want to get over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, the WOSB Weather Center. You have your Barbies as a little girl, yes?
I did not have any Barbies as a little girl.
What a scandal.
Scandalous, totally. I loved horses, and so I had little model horses, and I had a lot of stuffed animals. I had one person gave me a Barbie. I left it in the box, and boy, you know I wish I had that, right? I probably wouldn't be standing right here if I had that.
Right?
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's going to be a nice weekend to get outside. A boat just cruised by here at Lake Gaston, and you can see a few puffy cumulus clouds. We'll see some of that. It's still on the sticky side today. Right now, it's 88 degrees, or 2.69, so that's still pretty high up there. And as we climb into the low 90s this afternoon, it's going to feel more like upper 90s to around 100. This is a look at the temperature on the left and the heat index on the right. So 95 in Southern Pines and Fayetteville. It feels like 95 in Clinton and Goldsboro. It feels like 93 in Raleigh and Rocky Mount. So yeah, it's just going to be one of those sort of summer days. But we're going to see a front that comes through. I showed you that at the beginning of the newscast. It's going to push some of that humidity, some of that moisture out of here for tomorrow. But we are likely, at least in some spots, to climb all the way up to 100. We're not too far from it right now, feeling like 95 in a lot of our southern counties. And it's going to feel pretty hot for a while. As a matter of fact, it's still going to feel like 90 degrees at 8 o'clock. By the time we get to 9 o'clock, we really have to get past sunset for it to really cool off a whole lot. That 69 puts us right here at steamy. We're going to drop it to tolerable this weekend. Now, we keep talking about these cooler, less humid conditions. You have to realize, I mean, we're not coming down here. We're not getting to comfy and refreshing. That's pretty hard to do in July. But we will see that big drop. I want to show you this again because it was a lot of numbers at the beginning of the newscast. So feeling like 100 today. Tomorrow, it feels like 89. That's a pretty big drop. Our high will be in the upper 80s. And we'll see partly cloudy skies with just a small chance of a thunderstorm. After that, it'll feel like low 90s Sunday and Monday. At least it keeps us well away from the triple digits. But we do have a lot of heat back in the forecast by, say, Wednesday and Thursday. So, you know, some weekends you really have to plan carefully. late. If you're going out to play tennis or golf or pickleball or whatever it is you like to do, you know, go out for your long run on a Saturday morning, you got to start really early. Well, it may not be as bad for this weekend. 93 today, but then 88 Saturday, 90 on Sunday. In the afternoons, there could be a couple of pop-up thunderstorms that most of us should stay pretty dry. A lot of the country going to end up with temperatures below normal. And even though temperatures are below normal, sometimes that's still hot this time of year. So again, it gets just a little more comfortable for us. You see those yellows changing over to blues by early next week. The beach is always a pretty comfortable place to be, especially if you're sitting really close to the water. Highs will be in the mid-80s tomorrow and on Sunday, all up and down the coast, and there'll be just a chance of a thunderstorm. In the mountains, low 80s in Asheville, looking at mid-70s in Boone, and we'll copy and paste that for Sunday as well. Again, a chance of a thunderstorm, because you pretty much have a chance of thunderstorms in the mountains every day during the summer. The heat comes back for us on Wednesday and Thursday, but we'll talk a little bit more about some thunderstorms and watching a system in the tropics that just now has a little better chance of developing. I'll show you that.
Elizabeth, thanks. The backlog of our state's untested sexual assault kits is finally starting to improve. Ahead on our news at 5, what's led to the significant step forward in the process and what a survivor says about it.
Also, dozens of people will be reimbursed for damage done to their car while driving on Raleigh's Beltline, the stretch of highway in question, and why state DOT decided to pay up. That's tonight on WRAL News at 6. But our news continues now at noon. Artificial intelligence bringing the theme song for Cheers to life. How the technology could ensure that everybody knows your name at your favorite spot.
And what started as a joke proved to be a lucrative combination. How Clausen Pickles hopes people will buy into their delicious cocktail.
Hundreds of thousands of children's cups are being recalled due to high lead levels. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission is recalling nearly 350,000 Cupkin double-walled stainless cups. The agency says the cups contain levels of lead that exceed federal lead content limits. The cups are sold on Amazon and on Cupkin.com from January 2018 through March of this year. The manufacturer urging families to stop using those cups and contact them for a full refund. Walmart is cutting the price of its online subscription service in half for customers on government assistance. Under the Walmart Plus Assist program, the new price will be $6.47 per month or $49 a year. The regular price for a Walmart Plus membership is $12.95 a month or $98 annually.
Your next friendly neighborhood bartender and waiters may instantly know what you want, thanks to artificial intelligence. A hospitality firm says AI could use facial recognition technology to know what customers are feeling and send staff to tend to them. The system could also log their preferences as they become a regular. The firm says 80% of customers want bars and restaurants to personalize their experiences. You could soon pay your bill at Whole Foods with just a wave of your hand. The Amazon One palm recognition system will be in more than 500 Whole Foods stores by the end of the year. Whole Foods customers who choose to use it won't need their wallet or a phone to pay. They can simply hover their palm over a device and it will read your palm. However, some privacy experts have raised concerns about Amazon sharing biometric data.
Well, a viral trend on TikTok is inspiring a new menu item at Popeyes. The fast food chain is now selling its own version of the girl dinner. The menu features side dishes only, including rice and beans, mashed potatoes, coleslaw, biscuits, mac and cheese. The girl dinner trend has gained popularity in recent weeks and is basically replacing a full meal with an array of snacks. Well, stay with me on this one. If you love wine and pickles, we may have the perfect cocktail for you. Clausen Pickles has teamed up with Spritz Society to create a white wine cocktail with its signature pickle flavor. Well, the interesting concoction started as an April Fool's prank last year, but customers loved it so much, Spritz Society decided, well, let's keep it going. It's only available on a limited basis online in 8-ounce cans and will cost you $50.
In less than 2 hours, family and friends plan to say goodbye to 5-year-old Chloe Fennell.
It's been days since a U.S. Army private illegally crossed into North Korea. Since then, the U.S. has not been able to learn anything about his condition. Up next, efforts to locate Travis King. And as we head to break, your winning lottery number is right there on your screen.
shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
In just a few hours, a funeral will begin for the 5-year-old girl killed in a shooting earlier this month in Durham.
WRAL's Destiny Patterson is live at the Emmanuel Temple Seventh-day Adventist Church where that funeral will take place. Destiny, good afternoon.
Well, I've already started to see a few people making their way in. Family and friends will be gathering here for those services for 5-year-old Chloe Fennell. Behind me, you can see that they've already got the funeral cars here ahead of her service. Family and friends say 5-year-old Chloe Fennell could brighten any room. They were heartbroken when she became a victim to gun violence on July 5th. Her mother's first cousin, Brian Luster, faces several charges related to her death, including first-degree murder. Her 15-year-old cousin, Destiny Sidbury, tried to shield Chloe. She was also shot and is recovering. In her 5 years, Chloe's managed to touch many lives. More than 100 people went to a balloon release in her honor earlier this month. It's safe to say that this incident touched many people in the community. We're expecting a large turnout here today.
For being our extraordinary God.
The viewing for her is at 1 o'clock and the funeral itself is at 2 o'clock. And if you can't be here in person, it will be live streamed on WRAL.com.
Destiny Patterson reporting live for us this afternoon in Durham. Destiny, thanks. We're working to learn if a driver will face charges for a crash that sent a pedestrian to the hospital. It happened just before 7 this morning near the intersection of Sharon Road and Ashton Glen Drive. Police said the woman who was struck by a car has serious injuries but is expected to recover. The driver stayed at the scene. The investigation is ongoing.
This afternoon, Pfizer CEO is expected to tour the damage caused by Wednesday's tornado at the Rocky Mount facility. 50,000 pallets of medicine were destroyed, as well as dozens of vehicles and storage trucks. The plant is closed until further notice. One of the hardest hit areas in Edgecombe County after this week's tornado is on Morningstar Church Road. With all of this damage, it's hard to believe people were inside these homes when the tornado touched down and they made it out alive. Evelyn Powell is an Edgecombe County commissioner. Her husband was trying to take cover in their house when the roof was blown off by the tornado. He wasn't hurt, but their home is gone.
This is something you would dream about or you would hear somebody talk about on the news. This is nothing you think would happen at your house.
Neighbors say they feel so fortunate to have survived the tornado. Also in Edgecombe County, a woman and her husband are in the hospital after being thrown 100 feet through the air by the storm. The woman's mother told WRAL her daughter and son-in-law tried to take shelter in a shed, but the winds tore the shed apart, throwing them into a nearby field. They have serious injuries, but family members are hopeful they will recover.
Well, prepare for an uncomfortable night in Smithfield this weekend. Some people won't have air conditioning for several hours Sunday. This is because of a problem with the Duke Energy substation where rotten wood needs to be replaced. The repairs require shutting down power for many people who live just north of downtown. Now, this includes Johnston Memorial Hospital, but we should note the hospital does have power generators to keep operations going. The town's director of utilities says the work is needed.
And they're in need of repair, and they didn't want to wait until October. Normally, we like to do these things March and October because of the temperate nature of the, but they said they couldn't wait.
Well, he adds, although the repairs are scheduled to take about 5 hours starting midnight, crews are hoping to have that work done sooner.
The U.S. Army has expressed concern over the well-being of Travis King. He's the American soldier who bolted across the demilitarized zone 3 days ago into North Korea. The Pentagon describes King's formal status in the military as AWOL or absent without leave. NBC's Matt Bradley has more on the situation while North Korea remains silent.
Well, it's now been 3 days since Private Travis King darted across the border between here and South Korea and North Korea, one of the most isolated countries in the entire world. This shocked the world, shocked the U.S. government, and sent diplomatic shockwaves throughout the world. And now we've been hearing from the U.S. government that they're launching a sprawling investigation involving various government agencies trying to find out where Private King is and what his status is. Now, this is going to involve a very difficult task of trying to reach the North Korean government. Now, there are several avenues in which the U.S. is doing this. They can reach out through the United Nations, through Swedish diplomats than the Swedish embassy in Pyongyang, and through here in South Korea, where they have some connections with the North Korean government. But the fact is, now we're going into day four of this diplomatic crisis, and there is still no telling where Private King is. And we haven't heard anybody saying that the North Koreans have actually responded to any of the entreaties that have been issued by the U.S. government. So far, all efforts to find Private King have been frustrated. This is also frustrated by the fact that Private King's motives are entirely unclear. No one knows exactly why he darted across the border, what his intentions were. The fact is, until we know a little bit more, until we get some sort of response from Pyongyang, we're not going to have any idea what the fate of this young soldier is in the coming days or weeks. Matt Bradley, NBC News, Seoul, South Korea.
And King was not escorted onto his flight because he wasn't in custody when he was at the airport. His escorts were not allowed to go beyond airport security.
Well, construction on several major roads will take you on some detours this weekend and beyond. Vine Trade is up next with a heads up.
Plus, momentum for electric cars appears to be changing direction. Why it's harder to encourage people to take the EV route.
Get ready for some weekend road construction that could send you on a detour.
WRL's Brian Schrader has a look at what's closing and when.
We'll start by RDU International Airport, where work continues on that Interstate 40 interchange at Airport Boulevard. And starting tonight, both ramps on the eastern side of that interchange are closing. Those are the ramps from 40 westbound onto Airport Boulevard and from Airport onto I-40 eastbound. That closure starts at 8 o'clock tonight and will continue into the fall. Use Aviation Parkway or Interstate 540 as good alternate routes. The ramp from Western Boulevard to 440 westbound will close tonight at 9 o'clock. And that's going to remain closed for 9 days. They are rebuilding part of that ramp to match up with the lanes on the newly widened section of I-440. Expect a detour that uses 440 eastbound to Hillsborough Street, and then you can head back and rejoin 440 westbound to head back down toward Western Boulevard and on into Cary. Finally, a couple of closures on I-40 between Raleigh and Clayton as that widening project continues. Crews are going to close the Jones Sausage Road Bridge from 9 o'clock tonight till 5 a.m. Monday. Expect a detour in that area. And during that same time, the right lane of 40 eastbound between NC-42 and Cornwallis Road will be closed for a traffic shift. Slow down and pay attention in all of those work zones. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
Brian, thanks. Electric vehicles were once hot and now maybe not. Why demand is cooling off and what one company is doing to drive interest back up.
And plans are in the works to get your kicks on Route 66. The features of a new theme park built around the iconic highway.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, former Durham gymnastics coach Stephen Maness, who was accused of taking indecent liberties and sexual battery of young female athletes, was found not guilty on all counts. The former owner of Bull City Gymnastics had been accused of 4 counts of taking indecent liberties with a child and 4 counts of sexual battery. Again, found not guilty on all counts. His accusers were former athletes he had trained between 2012 and 2020. The jury deliberated for less than a day about this case.
Well, after a sudden rapid demand, industry analysts say electric vehicles might now be losing momentum. EV vehicle prices have dropped almost 30% in the past year. Steve Nielsen shows us how one company is working to smooth the way for EVs.
As Mark Hanchett walks around his growing manufacturing facility, he has no concerns about headlines regarding the EV industry.
We are hiring a lot.
New is a Mesa-born company. They say they deal in energy. Here they build battery cells, they find energy storage solutions, and they manufacture megawatt-plus charging stations.
This will charge as fast as the Tesla will accept.
It is a significant investment in the EV world at a pivotal moment.
EV values and EV market has dropped substantially. Like, you could use the word collapse here.
Car industry analyst Carl Brower at IC Cars says EVs prices have dropped 29.5% year over year.
To see this level of kind of hesitation by the consumer to jump into the EV world right on the cusp of all these EVs that have come in the past year and all the more that are coming in the next year and them already starting to stack up at dealerships, it's something to be concerned about.
In Arizona's economy, that could be a problem. With the EV industry starting to grow quickly between Lucid and Electromechanica and a lot more.
Almost 100% growth in less than a year, and we're going to continue to grow from here on out.
Hanchett believes the demand is there, but infrastructure like they make it new needs to advance quickly.
You're in the flip phone stage. To get to the smartphone stage, we just need a couple of minor little sort of milestone improvements in battery technology and efficiency, combine that with the infrastructure, and that comes together and it's going to take off like a rocket.
You can catch all the action of the Women's World Cup on Fox 50. The U.S. Women's National Team will play its first match of the tournament tonight. This is video of them training as they get ready for that match in New Zealand. Coverage against Vietnam starts tonight at 8:45. You can catch all the action on Fox 50, your home for the Women's World Cup. And you can cheer them on tonight at a watch party hosted by NC Courage in Raleigh. It's happening at 9 at the Carolina Ale House on Skyland Ridge Parkway in Briar Creek. If you plan on going, organizers say to get there about 90 minutes early to secure a seat and order some food. The team will be hosting more watch parties throughout the World Cup tournament.
We're in for a beautiful sunny day out there. Rather sticky right now, but boy, are we looking forward to the weekend, Elizabeth.
It's going to feel so much more comfortable. Again, not necessarily October conditions, but we're going to see a nice break from the triple-digit heat index that we saw for most of the week. It's beautiful out there right now. Take a live look at Goldsboro. You can see sunshine, some big puffy cumulus clouds, but it's on the muggy side already in a lot of spots. The heat index is in the mid-90s, and it's just going to climb on up to the upper 90s to right around 100 this afternoon. Apex looking pretty, so is Chapel Hill. Just a couple of clouds there, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. And it's looking nice there on Hay Street in Fayetteville. We take a look at the big picture. We have our cold front starting to move into the mountains. This front is going to scour out some of the moisture that's in place for us. But look at the rain associated with it. There's not any. We do have some that's down to the south. And it's possible as the front moves through that it might pop a shower or two. But we're not looking at any widespread rain with this front. Certainly not looking at any threat for severe storms. So this is going to come through, again, push out some of the moisture, making it feel more comfortable for the weekend. But we don't have a lot of rain to go with it. You can see between now and 5 o'clock, just big puffy cumulus clouds. Nothing really pops up here on Futurecast. We move it out to Saturday morning. Don't be surprised if it's cloudy for Saturday morning. We do have some disturbance that will continue to move to our west, and some of that may help to push some cloud cover in for us tomorrow morning. By lunchtime, we should see the sunshine returning, at least to partly cloudy, and you can see at some point, especially along and east of I-95, a few little cells pop up there, but again, nothing to be concerned about. There won't be much of it. It doesn't look severe. And then we take it on out to 9-10 o'clock Saturday evening, and it looks fine. You may need to start watering. You know, a week ago, we saw a lot of heavy rain, 3 to 5 inches in some places. We haven't had as much, at least not widespread, in the last week. So it's 20% chance today, 30 Saturday, 20 Sunday, 30 Monday. You may have to start pulling the sprinklers out, maybe even do a little yard work this weekend, or just go to the pool. Sounds better, doesn't it? 88 Saturday and 90 Sunday, and that's about what it will feel like. We're not going to have a heat index making it feel a lot hotter than it really is, because we'll see a nice drier air mass that pushes through. One thing to mention, we are going to see our wind coming out of the north, and a lot of times this summer when our wind has come out of the north, we've seen some of that smoke from the Canadian wildfires. That is a possibility over the weekend. We'll be watching out for that. And of course, we'll let you know if there is a forecast for our air quality to diminish. Again, not too hot on Saturday, a little humidity drop. Sunday might be slightly more humid, but I think it'll be a subtle change. It would be nice if we could keep this around, right? But we get into next week, the middle to the latter part of next week. Look at how much of the country has the potential for above normal temperatures. Eek. All right, we take a look at the tropics. We have the system. We've been watching this one for a couple of days. The Hurricane Center bumped up its chances to 20% in the next couple of days and 40% in the next 7 days. The models make some hints at trying to develop that. You can see where it would go if it does develop, most likely over the Leeward Islands and into the Caribbean. Of course, we will have our eye on it. We still are watching Tropical Storm Don, which is just going to move on up into the Atlantic and away from land. So I think we're probably about done having to worry about Don. Once we get past the weekend, like I showed you, it looks like next week's going to be hot. We're back to 93 Wednesday and 94 on Thursday.
Elizabeth, thanks. Well, a piece of hip-hop memorabilia is up for sale. the owner of this amazing ring and how much it is expected to summon at auction.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. This afternoon, we expect to get a better idea of what it will take to get Nash County's largest employer back up and running after Wednesday's destructive tornado. Pfizer CEO is heading to Rocky Mount to tour the damage done to the company's production plant there. The EF3 tornado ripped the roof off part of the facility. The plant is shut down until further notice.
Police are investigating a crash between a car and a motorcycle that seriously injured the rider. It happened this morning in the northbound lanes of US 1 in Cary, where lanes are still closed. Cary police say the motorcycle hit the back of a Dodge Charger. The motorcyclist suffered serious injuries and the driver of the Charger is okay. We're trying to confirm exactly how this crash happened.
This afternoon, a funeral will honor the life of a 5-year-old girl killed in a shooting in Durham. Family and friends will gather at Emmanuel Temple Seventh-day Adventist Church to say their final goodbyes to 5-year-old Chloe Fennell. The little girl was shot and killed July 5th, and her 15-year-old cousin was injured trying to shield Chloe. Her mother's first cousin, Brian Lester, faces several charges, including first-degree murder. Chloe's services will be live streamed on WRL.com.
Next month, the world celebrates the 50th anniversary of hip-hop. Well, to mark the occasion, Sotheby's is selling a piece of hip-hop history. The ring Tupac Shakur wore during his last public appearance is up for auction. As a fan of philosopher Niccolo Machiavelli, Tupac designed the ring based on medieval kings of Europe. Well, Sotheby's experts say such a significant cultural artifact doesn't come cheap.
The sale is meant to tell the story of hip-hop as a cultural movement. Some people think of hip-hop and they just think music, but hip-hop is the largest cultural movement on the planet.
Well, the ring is expected to fetch about $300,000. The sale also features more than 100 items from hip-hop history, including letters from Tupac Shakur to his high school sweetheart, some original demo tapes. The auction runs until July 25th.
Theme park lovers will soon be able to get their kicks on Route 66. A new $2 billion theme park is being planned for Northeast Oklahoma on Route 66. Developers say the American Heartland theme park and resort will be comparable in size to Walt Disney's Magic Kingdom Park. The attraction will include 6 lands that take you through American history. The first phase opens with a 325-acre campground that will open in spring 2025, and the theme park and resort are scheduled to open the year after. A Norwegian golfer will soon find if getting hit by bird poop really means good luck.
There's a bunch of kind of thick and patchy grass over there to the right.
Hold that. A bird interrupted Victor Hovland's approach on the 15th hole of the first round at the British Open. Hovland's caddy quickly cleaned off the seagull's souvenir. The 25-year-old finished the round 1 under and is tied for 19th place. The Norwegian star is in search of his first major.
Maybe got some luck there. Well, our pet of the day is a sweet and playful dog from the SPCA of Wake County. Meet Valley. She's only 3 years old and weighs just a little over 50 pounds. She loves her squeaky toys and sometimes likes to hide them under her dog bed. The one thing Valley doesn't like is rain, and who can blame her? If you're interested in adopting her, please visit the spcaofwakecounty.org/adopt. NBC News Daily is next on WRL. Another local update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WRL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.